after the service, and I'm sure that we'll have plenty available, you know, throughout the course. Now, we're going to be collecting to Father's Day, and so we want you to fill it up and bring it in. Now, the church this morning, we're going to support Sharon, but if you feel led to write a check to her today, if you feel led to help support, she'll be in the foyer after service. If you have questions and would like to volunteer or to be a part, I'm sure that she can give you instruction on doing that. We want to encourage you to do that if you can, and so and bless her. But we're going to bless her as a church, but I hope that some of you all will get on board, because that this affects our city. This is in our backyard, and we're thankful for her passion for God and what she's doing for God. And I want to tell you, I just love it. I just love it. Here, God took Planned Parenthood, moved them out, and moved God in. How many know that's all right? Amen? So you say, well, why is that important? Because we believe a city can be won. And we believe that God can do what he's accomplished. And so thank you so much for being here, Sharon. We love you. If there's anything you need, you let us know, and we'll be happy to be a part of everything that you're doing. If you have your copy of God's Word this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, praise God, it's Sunday. Aren't you all glad it's Sunday? Hallelujah. Nobody's sad. Nobody's mad. Nobody's looking bad but the devil this morning. Amen. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. How many know that God has blessed you to be a blessing? And God blesses us to be a blessing. Now, this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay a plumb line. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a plumb line. And somebody drew me a picture of a plumb line. And I keep it in my Bible. And it's always a reminder of me that the Word of God is always the standard for my life. And that when I open it each morning to do devotion or to pray, to understand that I have to line up with the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't have to line up with me. And to understand. So we're going to lay a plumb line this morning. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to lay a plumb line. And I'm going to preach out a passage of Scripture I've never preached out of. And one of the reasons I've never preached out of it is because there's times I've heard ministers preach out of it, and it's put a sickening feel in my stomach. Because there's been a lot of messages that I've heard from it that have took me to the place to where I was like, man, it just didn't feel right. And so I've kind of stayed away from this Scripture because I've always felt that in order to preach it, first of all, God has to instruct you to do it. But I always felt like there were times that these passages of Scripture had been misinterpreted and preached. Now, I'm not criticizing the one, I'm just saying that's just me. But I believe this is a powerful, powerful verse of Scripture. I've prayed this Scripture before. I've never preached it. But just a couple of Tuesdays ago, after we had did our devotion on the radio on Tuesday morning, I got to reading, and God took me to this passage of Scripture, and the spirit of the prophetic came on me, and I began to write. And begin to write down. And all day long in the office, God was just revealing things to me out of this passage. And the Lord spoke to me to preach on the commanded blessing. And I really believe that God wants to equip us and bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. The blessing of God wants to touch our lives and be a part of all of our lives. Now, I know the blessing of God is a real thing. It is a real thing in our lives. And when you know how to activate it in your life, you'll never be the same. When you learn how to activate the blessing of God for your life and what the principles of God are that activate the blessing of God, you will never be the same in your life. And so here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, this passage of Scripture, and I've asked you for the last couple of weeks to pray over it with me, as I've prepared to get ready to preach this series of messages. I love the words that are here. I love what the commandment is and what it means. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is a book that was written for the children of Israel. It's some consider it what they call the second law or the rewriting of the law. Leviticus was the first law, which had to do a lot with the written law. The Deuteronomy has a lot to do with the moral law. And so there's the written law of God, which is the commandments for the dispensation that people are living in, which was the Old Testament. But Deuteronomy has a lot to do with the moral law of God, God's moral law. Now, the difference is the written law is only for a dispensation, but the moral law lasts all through history and all through time. This is a moral law. This is written in the book of Deuteronomy. This transcends Old and New Testament. This is for every believer that will trust in God and believe on Him can actually pray and claim and live and walk out the blessing of God that is mentioned here in these passages of Scripture. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you'll begin with me, I want to begin to read in verse 1. It says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all the commandments which I have commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." Verse 2, "And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." Isn't that a great passage? If you obey, these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. What does that mean? It means that those blessings will outrun you. How many want the blessing of God to outrun you? How many want to go from one blessing to the other? And it means to overtake. It's a divine passive in the Scripture. It means that you can't outrun it. It's a promise that goes before you. It's a promise that you step into. And the blessing of God wants to outrun you. It wants to overtake you because you have obeyed the voice of the Lord. "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds and the increase of your cattle and offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out." What does that mean? It means this. It means that blessed when you show up someplace and blessed when you leave someplace. It means that where you go, the blessing of God goes with you. And not only does it go with you when you enter in and when you go out, when you leave something better than it was when you got there. In other words, to be in the presence of people means you're a blessing to those people, not a curse to them. Now, there's some folks I know, when they see some folks coming, they say, "Oh God, here she comes again. Oh man, here he comes again." How many know that's not blessing going in and that's not blessing going out? But God wants to move in our lives to where everywhere we go, when we go into something or walk into something, we have the ability to lift that up and be a blessing and not a curse to the people that we're around. And when we leave, they say, "Man, I wish they would not have left. It was good to have them around." That's the kind of people that God wants us to be. He don't want us to be sour, mad, disgruntled, all messed up, happy because you didn't get cheese on your fillet of fish. You're going to go in there and stir up all McDonald's because you didn't get cheese. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I've seen them. I've been in line behind them. And then want to invite them to church the next time they come in. But God wants you to be a blessing going in and going out. And the Scripture says, "And the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you, before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven other ways." How many would like the enemy to scatter when you show up? How many like the enemy to take note that you're there and have the understanding the blessing of God is on your life? And you know what? When the blessing of God is really on your life, sometimes you almost feel sorry for the enemy that comes against you. We have to get the mentality that God has blessed us, that we almost feel sorry for the enemy when we show up, because we know that when we show up, that the devil can't hang around too long, because God's put something in us to scatter the enemy in the lives of people. Huh? Do I got the right crowd this morning, or do I need to? And so God wants to bless us. And then verse 8, I love it. This is our text. "The Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you." It says not the land He wants to give you. It says the land He has given you. And so there's a commanded blessing that can come upon our lives. He goes on to say in verse 9, "The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you. But if you keep my commandments of the Lord, God will allow you to walk in His ways." You have to walk in His ways. It's not just believing it. You got to walk it out. Verse 10, "Then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by His name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you." It's not afraid as terror, but it's afraid in a sense, that in awe, in reverence. In other words, they'll respect the God that is in you. They'll respect what God is doing in you. You're not flaky. You're not phony. You're not. You don't look like you just, put on something just to fool somebody. They know that when you show up, that you live your life. When somebody goes to pray for somebody, when somebody turns to somebody and say, "Hey, can I pray for you?" They'll know that you mean business with God. You're not just doing it because you're religious. You're doing it because you believe there's a God that can heal, a God that can touch, and a God that can transform people's lives. There's a realness that comes out of people that live under the blessing of God. There's a security that comes in their life. There's a faith that follows them. That wherever they go, whatever they walk into, they can always believe God for the impossible. They don't just walk just to go do, but they go because they feel like divinely God is leading and ordering their steps. Every day you have to wake up and believe that where God sends you, how He leads you, it's a divine thing. It's just not casual, but God is leading and guiding you, and it's a divine moment in your life, every moment. Woo! Woo! In verse 11, it says, "And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, and the fruit of your body will increase in your livestock and in the produce of your ground, and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you." That's talking about the fruit of your body. That's talking about your health. I want to tell you, you walk into the commanded blessing of God, it'll affect your health. It'll bring longevity to your life. It'll bring joy to your life. It'll bring a peace to your life. You learn to walk in the commanded blessing of God, you'll feel better, act better. You'll have a bigger smile on your face. There'll be a song that you'll sing. Huh? Why? Because God wants to bless the fruit of our bodies. "And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and never beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, you are careful and observe them." And it says, "So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I commanded you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods or serve them." In other words, if you will be obedient to what this blessing is and honor God, God says you will have and walk in the very blessings that are described in this chapter. Hallelujah. The commanded blessing. Now, this is an interesting word. It said, "I will command the blessing." That word "command" there is an interesting word. It's used a few times in Scripture. Now, the word "command" is in the Scripture many times. But there's only a few times that it's used like this. One of the times, the word means to bring order, to appoint, to have ordained a divine act. It's a command. In other words, it's the word of God. It's connected with the word that is in the book of Genesis when God began to say, when God began to speak, and He said, and God said, "Let there be light." Light didn't have a choice. It's a command. It's an order. It is a word of assurance. It is a word that is sure. It is an appointed word. In other words, when it said, "And God will command a blessing on you," it means that God will order a blessing on you. God will appoint a blessing to your life. It's not just the natural, it's a divine thing. The blessing of God is just as divine as it is in the natural. And it's not just money. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's favor. Sometimes it's just the goodness of God coming on your life. It is a divine thing. It's a supernatural thing. You can't make it up. You can't imitate it. It comes from God. And when God speaks it on somebody, it will happen because it's not negotiable. Light did not have a say. And God said, "Let there be light," and light showed up. So when God says, "I command a blessing on you," it's not just religious words God's saying. He's releasing something into your life that is divine. Woo! Are y'all getting that? I'm starting to get a little lathered up. I'm starting to get happy here. Because once you realize what the commanded blessing of God is on your life, you will live different. You won't even be the same. And until a church and a people get a hold and understand that the commanded blessing is what transforms cities, transforms families, transforms, makes drug addicts clean. It's what transforms the mind of alcoholics. It's what sets your children free from all the things that have held them back. It's what breaks the yoke of bondage in people's lives. When a commanded blessing comes on a family, the enemy can't even cross the threshold. Woo! Ah! And God wants to put a commanded blessing on your life. The word is used when it talks about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the commandments that God gave to bring order to the children of Israel. Five of them had to do with their relationship with people, and five of them had to do with their relationship with God. They're not negotiable. They're not waking up, well, God, I don't like this one. I'll obey five of them, but I won't obey these other four. No, no. God said this is a Ten Commandment. It is an order. It is an answer. It is a way to blessing in your life. You say, well, aren't the old Ten Commandments in the Old Testament? Ain't that old? No, it's the moral law of God. It goes from today to tomorrow unto forever. It's not a law. It's a principle. It's a moral. It is a moral principle. Jesus said it like this. He summed it up in two words or in two phrases. He said that you shall love your brother and your sister, and it said that and you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. To love your neighbor as yourself, that takes care of five commandments. To love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, that takes care of five commandments. It's what Jesus was talking about. It's the moral law of your life. It is a commanded blessing. When you obey the Ten Commandments, the blessing of God comes upon your life. The word is used again in Psalms 133 when it said, how good and pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in the house of the Lord. How many know it's good that brethren dwell together in the house of the Lord? Forsake not yourself with the assembling of the body together. Yeah, I don't need church. I'll get God on my own. No, you will not. You can do what you want to do, but the blessing of God is not going to be on you. You need fellowship. You need to be in the house of the Lord. You need to be under lordship of Him. You need to be under spiritual authority in your life. You need to be under the Word of God. You need to be taught, corrected, reproved, changed, preached to, and at times you may even have to sweat, snot, spit, or cry, whatever it needs for God to get you aligned right so that He can bless your life. Good and pleasant is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It says it's like precious oil that drips off the beard of Aaron. It's a representation of leadership. That God honors leadership. The anointing comes from leadership. And it says that, and as it is, as the dew that flows from Mount Hermon down to the Mount Zion, as the dew that it comes down and it covers the mountain and flows down to Mount Zion. You know what Mount Zion is? Mount Zion is the Temple Mount. It's the place where the house of the Lord is. And it says that the blessing and the anointing of God shall begin up here with God, who Jesus and God, who is the authority and Lord over our life. But when the commanded blessing begins to flow, it flows down through the authority and spiritual authority that God has set up in the body of Christ. And once it flows through the leadership, then it flows down into the body. And that means that there's unity not only with God, but there's unity in the body in itself. And the Bible said there, at that moment, God can command a blessing for life evermore, it says in Psalms 133. So what do you have? You have God in creation. That's His trust, His sovereignty. You have to trust God that what He's spoken over your life, He will bring through. Just as He spoke light into existence, just from the foundation of the world, as we talked about on Thursday night, how valuable that all life belongs to God. We don't get the choice about life, that God from the beginning established you from the foundation of the world. He created you even before you were even formed. And listen, life doesn't just begin at conception. Life began in the mind of God. Before there was ever anything that existed, God had you on His mind. Woo! Life's not a conception, physical life. But it began in the beginning of God, and God sent His Holy Spirit to be inside of you. To what? To lead you and guide you in the all truth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was there with God the Father and God the Son the very day that He began to order your life. The Holy Spirit knows where you need to go. He knows your destiny. And if you allow Him to lead your life, you just won't be walking by yourself, but you'll be walking under the divine blessing and covenant of God. So you wake up every day with a purpose. You don't wake up going, I don't know. What are you doing today? I don't know. Sit out here on the porch. Watch a squirrel. But that's how we live. We live like we wake up like God's forgot about us. He ain't forgot about you. He's got a divine purpose for your life. All life belongs to God and only God. And it's just like in the Ten Commandments, God's word. That's our obedience. First of all, we have to recognize His sovereignty. That's His sovereignty over us. That's our trust in Him. Then we have to understand there's an obedience that comes when He reveals His plan to us. That's what the Ten Commandments is all about. It is a pathway to the blessing of God. If you will walk in obedience, then God will pour blessing out on your life. We have to learn obedience. And then Psalms 133 is a picture of the corporate blessing of God. Unity, agreement. Coming into agreement. How many know we can do more together than we can do individually? How many know we can get a lot done if we'll come together as a body and believe and have a blessing consciousness and awareness of God's blessing in our life as a church, as a people? If we'll come into agreement about the sovereignty of God, about being obedient to God, then what begins to happen? God will command a blessing on our church. We will come into agreement with one another, and there's nothing that we cannot do through the power of the Holy Spirit. God will allow us to accomplish those things which we can't individually. He'll allow us to do it corporately. The blessing of God, a blessing consciousness. When you become a blessing consciousness, listen, you know, you can walk in such blessing of God that you can come to the place to where you get to the place to where all of a sudden there's a consciousness that God's got your back, that God's taking care of it. Because when I know that I have a blessing on my life, I understand this. I never feel like in my life that my life is in someone else's hands. When I know the blessing of God is on my life, I don't feel like my life is in someone else's hands. When the blessing of God is on my life, I don't feel like the fact that maybe when things aren't going right in my life, I don't feel like I'm losing. When the blessing of God is on your life, when you're in the middle of a trial or a setback, you know that it's not a final destination because you know the blessing of God is on your life. You're just going through something. You'll come out on the other side when you know there's a blessing on your life. When you know there's a blessing on your life, you know that the attack of the enemy is not forever. It's just a short time until God shows up to deliver you. I believe, and you got to believe, when the blessing of God is on your life, the commanded blessing of God is on your life, you got to believe that whatever you set your hands to do, God will prosper. And when the devil comes and knocks you down or knocks me down, I get back up and I stand back up. The reason I can get back up is because I know I have a blessing on my life. And my prayer is to believe that God will release and transfer a blessing over your life, over this congregation, that we understand what does it mean to have a commanded blessing, that we won't be the same. The blessing of God is a real force. It is a spiritual principle. When the blessing of God is on your life, it opens opportunities to come your way. It opens doors that cannot be opened naturally. Your money will go further and you'll be wiser with it. It'll produce a longevity and a stewardship in your life. And I'm here to tell you that God wants to prove to you that you can receive it and walk in it. and that you can be convinced that God wants to bless you and be a blessing in your life. I'm here to tell you that God wants all of us to walk in that commanded blessing. What did it say in the scripture? I mean, it's telling us. I mean, you can be so blessed that you know, your work will be blessed because you're there. You can be so blessed that your backslidden children will come back to God just because they're connected to you. You can be so blessed that the land and the heavens will open up for you. Why? Because it's connected to you. I'm here to declare that God is going to pour out blessing on some of you, that everything that is connected to you will be blessed. Your home will be blessed. Your job will be blessed. Your friends will be blessed just because they hang out with you. Your home is going to have a spirit of love and a place of peace in your life. Why? Because when the commanded blessing comes on your life, where you go, God goes. And I'm praying that that'll come on you. And as a church, where we go, everything we do, wherever we show up, we'll bless everything we touch. If we show up downtown to do something, we're not there just for us, but we're there to bless the city. We're there to bless the people that come around us. We're there to help and to do and to be a part and to not walk in like we own the place. We walk in like God has put something in us that's going to help break through, going to help renew and strengthen everyone we come in contact with. My prayer, everyone, I pray for the day that everyone that comes on this campus will feel the blessing of God in their life. Every car that pulls in the parking lot just to turn around will pull out into the highway and say, "Woo! I don't know what that was, but that feels good. I don't know." Everybody walks in here sick. Huh? Come on. You say that preacher's crazy. I may be. But I believe there's a commanded blessing that if you're ever going to, listen, we talk about when in the city, we talk about transforming people's lives. How about getting obedient with God and getting agreement and just let Him pour His Spirit out on us and let's just find out and see if God can do what He says He can do. People walk into the foyer, I want them to feel blessed. I want them to feel like God's here. They've walked into a place. I want the fruit of your body to be healthy. I want your mind to be clear. I don't want you to be crazy. You can be crazy when you come in, but you can't be crazy when you leave. Problem is, we got them coming in crazy and leaving crazy. And we got some staying around crazy and won't leave. But the truth is, He's a healer. The truth is, He's a breakthrough God. The truth is, He is what His Word says He is. And I declare that we will create an atmosphere in this place that is a place of blessing that touches the heart of everyone that walks through that door. Woo! The nation will be blessed. The city can be blessed. Praise God. I pray some of you get on the school board so the school board can be blessed. Huh? Come on. Hey, some of you, you need a command. Some of you need to go to those school board meetings. Walk in there. Believe in God. Just because you're there, it can change the whole atmosphere of that whole thing. There won't be no fussing, fighting, shouting at each other, acting like we ain't got no sense. Huh? Walk in there, believe in God, praying for your school board, praying for the next superintendent, praying for the teachers, praying for the school. Walk in with some authority. Believe, hey, I'm here. That means there's a commanded blessing on my life. It's not an arrogant thing. It's understanding that when you walk in obedience, God can put a presence on you to help change the atmosphere of everywhere you go. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm getting blessed this morning. Woo! I'd moonwalk if I wasn't. Woo! Ha ha. Here's how I'm going to say it. I'm just going to tell you. If you don't want to be blessed, you better run. You better run for cover. If you don't want to be blessed, you better run for cover. Go ahead and go find somebody beat down, broke down, washed out, and hang around them if you're looking for sympathy for somebody. But I'm believing God in this place that this becomes a house of blessing. You can't be mad in here. You can't be sad in here. Why? Because the blessing of God is going to be here. Woo! Hey, we all get depressed. We all get discouraged. But I'm not going to live there. Why? Because I got a blessing on my life. I'm not going to roll in my disappointment. Why? Because I got a blessing on my life. I'm not always going to be offended and carry it out for 6 months till I can get. Why? Because I got a blessing on my life. It may come, it may go. But when I go in, I'm coming out on the other side better than I was when I walked in. Why? Because you know you got a blessing, the commanded blessing of God on your life. Woo! Hey! Woo! Holy Ghost. I had a friend of mine, he preached here. He used to travel with Lester Summerall. He told me a story when he was here. He said, I was with Brother Summerall. Listen, here's the thing. When there's a blessing that follows your life and God calls you as a church, there are some things the world will just not understand. And they don't understand. Listen, there's avenues of obedience that God will have you go in order to get blessing. Now, that's why sometimes people say, well, why is that preacher always talking about tithe? Look how quiet it got. Y'all think the Holy Spirit fell on here. Y'all are like, he talking about money again. I ain't afraid to talk about money. You know why? Because I know money, God has got a plan for my money. And I know that when I'm obedient with my money, the commanded blessing of God comes on my life. So I'm not afraid to talk about money. I don't get skittish about money, talking about the tithe or about giving or what God responds or expects out of our life. I'm not embarrassed by that. I'm not sheepish when I get up here and tell you, y'all pay your tithe so we can keep the lights on. I don't skid it because why? Because I know that God finds blessing through the obedience of our giving and the obedience of understanding there's a pathway that God can bless us in our finances if we just be obedient to what he says do. But he said he was with Brother Summerall and they were in India. And he said he's sitting there and Brother Summerall's here and there's this Indian pastor that's sitting here. And the Indian pastor, now you have to understand, there are certain men that God has raised up in this nation over the course of the last century that God has used. And the reason he's used them is because they learned how to tap in to a commanded blessing of God. They've learned how to dive into it. They've learned how to get to it. They've learned how to dive in to God's blessing on their life. I want to be around men like that. I want to read after men like that. I want to be around men. But they've received a lot of criticism from the world. Dr. Summerall was sitting there and this pastor from India, leans over across my friend to Dr. Summerall, and he says, you know, Brother Summerall, I don't believe that we'll take an offering tonight because the people don't have a lot to give. And Brother Summerall looked at him and said, brother, he said, we'll take an offering tonight and let the people give that can give, and those that can't give don't have to give. But those that want to give can give. And he said, I could feel the tension there. And he said, Brother Summerall, I really don't think it's wise to take an offering tonight. Thousands of people there. He said, I could look over at Brother Summerall, and he said, the Indian pastor looked at me and said, would you explain to Brother Summerall what I'm trying to tell him, that these people are poor? He said, I looked at him and said, he's my ride. I'm not staying here in India with you. I'm with him. He said, Brother Summerall got up in front of those thousands of people. He said, he got up and he said, in that voice that he speaks in, he said, I've came to tell you tonight that you're under a curse.